Hello and welcome. I am your host, Goblin Queen, and tonight I am going to be reading and discussing strange experiences that specifically happened when the person was a child and was in their bedroom. So it's no secret that children have more paranormal experiences, and I've covered in a previous video specifically strange childhood or just paranormal childhood experiences, but I like to focus on the weirder ones that I could find. These all specifically, like I said, take place in the child's bedroom, usually at night, not 100% of the time. But this is a setting where a lot of strange encounters happen as well, and they do happen a lot of times around sleep, usually prior to sleep, but sometimes waking up out of sleep. Now, obviously, I wasn't the person who had these experiences. Well, actually, I am going to share something from my childhood. So for the most part, I wasn't the person who experienced these things. For some of these things, I can't even really say if they're unexplainable. We'll go into that a little bit. I'm not ever trying to dismiss people's experiences, because each experience has its own meaning and weight to the individual. And obviously, if it's lasted with you since childhood, it at least has had an effect on you. So that's what's important. I think a lot of these things are relatable. I can relate to many of these stories, as I will go into. So these stories may or may not be paranormal, may or may not be unexplainable, but they're definitely strange. And I think regardless of what the source is or what the explanation is, or if there isn't one, it's definitely fascinating to me. So the show tonight is majorly going to consist of me reading people's firsthand experiences as they have been relayed on different internet sources, a lot of stories from the fairy census. Yeah, just kind of a mixed bag of sources and a little bit of my own as well. So if that sounds interesting, let's go ahead and get started. I am going to begin with a story from the Paranormal subreddit. This was submitted by a user named Pink Royce. And they titled their post, "Ever seen green slime on your walls?" I would just like to write about some paranormal things that happened to me when I was younger. I'm also wondering if any of these strange things ever happened to you or someone you know. The dark can sometimes mess with your head, making you see, hear, or think strange or abnormal things. One night, when I was 9 years old, I was sleeping in my grandma's bed because I got scared of the dark. I looked up at the ceiling to see a bright green fog and slime dripping. I saw party streamers, confetti, and heard soft but loud voices. I told my grandma that I saw confetti and green. All she said was, "Go to sleep." I never understood why I had seen and heard that. Paranormal or just my head? Okay, so that one stuck out to me. Actually, I sought that story out because when I was a kid, I had a recurring experience of seeing green slime in my room when I was going to sleep or before going to sleep. So I very specifically remember this happening, I would say probably after the age of 7 or so, because it would only happen when I slept in my mom's room with her. I was a little old to be doing so, but what can I say? And it was also after my parents had been divorced, so I know what age that started at, and that was around the age of 7. So when I would be laying in bed with my mom, she would be asleep, but I would be awake, and all the lights would be off, and no TV or anything. My eyes would be adjusted to the light, but up in the corners of the room, or where the ceiling met the wall, I would see green slime drip very slowly in these really big globs down the wall. And the quality of the image wasn't just totally photorealistic. it did have kind of like a, it was kind of transparent. It kind of almost had like a staticky, snowy type of quality to the image. But it was green. It was just very faded and very faint. And whenever I would close my eyes or blink, it would reset. It did kind of remind me of how when you close your eyes sometimes and you start seeing colors behind your eyes, it kind of looked like that, where it's like, for me at least, it's kind of, I don't know, almost kind of a flickery kind of light. I don't know. It's very hard to describe. Maybe you'll know what I'm talking about, but the green slime, I would only see it in my mom's room. I did not see it in my room, but it would happen a lot consistently. I don't remember for how long. I think I stopped sleeping in my mom's room by the age of 10 at least, but I still remember that to this day. And I would just sit there and watch it. I mean, I was totally transfixed by it. It didn't scare me. I did kind of question if it was real or not, although I knew that if I went up and touched it, I wouldn't feel slime, but I was just very confused as to why I would see that, why that same image consistently every night. Wasn't like there was anything on the walls that would make me think that, because it was like a 3D image. It was very like thick globs of slime. Really reminded me kind of like of the Goosebumps slime. I mean, there was a lot of slime when I was a kid. There was Goosebumps, there was Nickelodeon, there was a lot of green slime. So maybe it was just in my subconscious. There was another thing that would happen too, similar to that. If it wasn't green slime, maybe they would happen concurrently. I can't remember. But another thing that would happen like this is, same thing, in my mom's room, going to bed. And I don't remember being tired either. It wasn't like I'm falling, my eyes are drooping, I'm falling asleep. I'm wide awake, waiting to get tired and fall asleep. And I am entertained in a way, intrigued by these images that I would see around the room. Another one would be fish swimming around the room as though I was inside an aquarium. I specifically remember like an angelfish, and they were oversized fish, maybe as big as a basketball. That did remind me of the fish screensaver there used to be on, or the aquarium screensaver there used to be on windows. I must say, I haven't tried to see if I can see that since. I admittedly don't sleep in a dark room. I usually have the TV on or at least a light on. I don't know why. I'm just uncomfortable sleeping in the dark. So I don't know if I still would see that. I don't necessarily think that that is, for me at least, paranormal. I don't know. Maybe it's just something to do with the darkness of the room, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But it is just so weird that it was the same thing every time. And I would see it drip off of not just the wall, but like the dresser, the top of the dresser. It really had this like flickery quality to the image, like TV snow embedded under this really, really faint translucent green. So I did go on the internet at one point and type in green slime. And this was, I think, the only actual green slime story that I found. And it wasn't the same as me. They said they saw the green slime dripping from a green mist, which I have heard of green mists or fogs. Those do come up. But I haven't heard of anyone else talk about slime on the walls yet, at least. Another thing I do want to touch on really quick before I move on is they also mentioned hearing soft but loud voices. And this was something I experienced, or something similar that I experienced, also very specific location. So I would have these two different bedtime phenomena, but in very specific location. It wasn't just any room I was in. So as I mentioned, my parents had divorced, so I had a multitude of rooms that I would sleep in, right? Sometimes I would sleep in my mom's room. Of course, I had my own room at my mom's house. And then also when I would go and visit my dad's house, I had a room there. So specifically when I would go visit my dad, sleep at my dad's apartment, and I actually would sleep sometimes with headphones in, over-the-ear headphones, and my CD player. And I remember I would be laying in bed, waiting to go to sleep, listening to music, and hearing the sounds of people talking. To me, it usually sounded like two people, definitely a man, in conversation with another person. I can't remember if I heard the other voice or not. It was a muffled voice, as if it was in the other room. To me, it sounded like it was in the floor above me, although we were on the top floor, so there was no floor above me. It sounded like there was a conversation happening on the next floor up or in a different room, and I would hear it while I was listening to music. I can't remember if I heard it too, if I wasn't listening to music or not. I just very specifically hearing, I would listen to Louis Armstrong a lot. So I was listening to that and would hear the voices and then take off my headphones or like pause my music to listen, hear where those voices are coming from. And for some reason, it would be louder when I had my music on. And then when I'd pause the music, I would still hear it, but it would be softer. And I would feel like I would have to strain harder to hear it. Yeah, so I'm not saying that that's something paranormal either. I think that that is, like this person said, it's something that happens when people are falling asleep. I'll probably reference to my own experiences throughout the show, but those were my own. Hopefully they make sense. It's hard to talk about them in a way that makes sense because they're very vague experiences. But next, I just want to read a little bit actually from a Quora post. I just kind of was going all around to see if I could find green slime experiences, and I did come across this. And the post is, the question, I guess, was, what causes us to see tiny colored dots in darkness? For example, if you are in a dark room, you don't just see pitch black, but thousands of tiny dots. I can't say I personally relate to that. I've never seen that I can remember tiny colored dots in the darkness. Maybe I'll have to try that sometime. But there were a lot of responses to this, and also a similar post I found that had kind of the same question. A lot of responses. So these are really common experiences. I'm going to read a couple. Brittany Powell answered, "Oh my God, I always used to try to describe it to my mom when I was young. It would literally keep me up at night because I couldn't not concentrate on everything I was seeing. I would be laying in the dark, eyes closed or open, and see dots, patterns, shapes, caterpillar-shaped things swirling around, and what strangely looked like bubbling eyes. Sometimes it's like I could move all the dots in one direction. I still see them, being 26 now, but not as much as I used to, and I can ignore it now. But it's nice to see other people see this too, and it's not just me." Diane Lord said, "I've wondered my whole life. I saw them when I was very young. I'd look forward to going to sleep so I could watch the lights in the dark. I would talk about them, but my parents and much older siblings had no idea what I was talking about. As I got older, they disappeared, but I tried to see them for many years until I gave up." So it is weird how this person said it was more prominent when they were as a child, or it only happened when they were a child. And I feel the same way about my green slime. I definitely saw it the most at that age, like when I was around 7, 8, maybe 9. I remember seeing it maybe when I was a little older, but it definitely seemed to go away, or maybe I just didn't think about it. When I did see it when I was older, maybe at least one time, I can't remember what age I was, but I remember seeing the slime, and it was harder. Like this person said, it was more difficult to see. I feel like I kind of had to make it happen or something. And I enjoyed it too. They said they looked forward to going to sleep so they could see the lights. I enjoyed it, or at least was interested in it. It was something to do while I was waiting to go to sleep, watch the slime. It was very, not scary, but just very weird. I thought it was really, really weird, and I didn't understand why it was there. It did have kind of a paranormal feel, so it was kind of unsettling and confusing as to whether it was real or not. There was a little kind of a creepiness about it. So I'm not necessarily implying that this was paranormal. It seems like it could be something caused by the brain's relationship to the visual system, or seemingly standard, though nonetheless unusual, hypnagogic processes. Hypnagogia is the term for the state leading up to sleep, basically falling asleep, although it can be more of an extended process than what that implies. It's common for people to hear, smell, feel, sense, and see strange things when falling asleep. So in his book called Sleep and Dreaming, Jacob Empson writes, quote, "A large portion of people report odd perceptual experiences, not dreams, strictly speaking, but quite different from the ordinariness of waking consciousness. Hypnagogic experiences, as they are called, are characterized by a series of relatively disconnected but vivid images. Visual hypnagogic sensations may be either isolated images or a series of images. Very commonly, people see static landscapes, moving faces, or a sequence of pictures or geometric shapes. There have been suggestions that some of these experiences, especially the sequences of geometric shapes or flashes, may be the result of discharges from the retina occurring in the absence of stimulation, the so-called entoptic phenomenon, which can also be observed when the eyes are open in the pitch dark. In a book called Hypnagogia, The Unique State of Consciousness Between Wakefulness and Sleep, author Andreas Mavromatis writes, "The variety of visual hypnagogic phenomenon appears to be endless. A great many reports begins with references to moving clouds of bright colors or mist and to luminous wheels, and often developing into complicated structures, faces, scenes, or landscapes. Indeed, it may come as a surprise to the general reader to hear that when we close our eyes or stare into the darkness of a room, we are hardly ever really confronted with total blackness, but mostly with a range of visual phenomena, the least structures of which are waves of pure colors, light-charged clouds, and dancing color spots. It is sometimes even claimed that a kaleidoscopic change of patterns and forms is continually going on, and the longer one stays away from the actual light, the brighter one's field of vision becomes. This phenomenon, known variously as eidioretinal light, luminous dust, entoptic light, or Eigenlicht, has been argued by a number of researchers to be the stuff out of which hypnagogic and sleep dream visions arise." End quote. So perhaps, in some cases, such as my green slime and fishes, something like this could be the cause. Like I said, though, it is interesting how it was the same exact visualization every single time. It never varied that I can remember between the fishes or the slime. Now, I reference those writings not to dismiss any and all of these types of experiences, but for the sake of objectivity, and honestly, I find it all to be interesting. Regardless, the green slime and the fish and even the voices upstairs, they have stuck with me since childhood, and many, many others have had their own bedroom experiences that have remained with them as well. I mean, we're just getting started, really. So let's press on to the next story. This one comes from the website Your Ghost Stories, which, if you're not familiar, is a website where people submit their firsthand paranormal experiences. And this one was submitted by Day Sleeper, and it took place in Canada. It's called Living with Amorphous Globs. I am 26 years old, and I believe in science and scientific explanations. I am a skeptic. As far as religion goes, I definitely am not a believer. Yet, as much as I value science and scientific explanations, it is hard to find one for some events that have happened to me in my life. Recently, I awoke from a nightmare, and the residual fear kept me still in my bed. As I looked around the room, I saw shapes in the darkness. The best way I can describe them is globs of extra dark darkness. They moved around the room, climbing the walls, dispersing into parts, forming a shape that seemed familiar, and then suddenly morphing into another. At first, they seemed to be playful. I find the more I focus on the shapes, the more intense they become. They get larger, darker, and more tangible. Whereas when I first look at them, they are fleeting and moving shadows. After I focus for a while, the shapes become more intense and, quite often, fill me with dread. You'll notice I am speaking now as if this has happened to me more than once. And it definitely has. It started when I was about 9 years old. I was extremely upset about something that I believe was something very silly in retrospect. I was quite a temperamental child back then, and I became extremely upset. At some points during my tantrum, I remember being alone, sitting on the piano bench in front of the piano in the living room, and as my rage and frustration reached a crescendo, I cursed the name of God. Almost immediately after I did this, I looked up and saw this menacing, transparent green eye in front of me. It was just floating there, but it scared the hell out of me. Aside from the eye, I could see a green arm and hand appear in just such a spot as if they belonged to the green eye. It was as if, directly in front of me, there stood a green human, but with only an eye and arm visible. Naturally, I was extremely scared and ran to my room. That night was the first time I saw the globs. For the next 4 months, I could not sleep properly. I would sit in my room, paralyzed by the moving globs. I would try to stifle my terror for as long as I could before I had to wake my parents. Several times, on nights when my fear reached fever pitch, the globs became more than just globs of darkness. Once, they moved around amorphously, and then on the wall, began to spell something. They started to spell my name. Before they could finish, I ran from my room, screaming. On several other nights, I saw a huge, menacing bat-like figure hover outside my window. On the last visit, it actually entered the room. Finally, in the worst incident, I was sleeping with the door open, and a red, clawed, semi-human arm floated slowly into my room and pointed at me. The arm incident is still the most frightened I've ever been in my entire life. On most nights, however, it was just the globs that terrorized me. If it seems odd that I can recall these 15-year-old incidents so accurately, I must explain that these were among the most intense of my childhood. I don't think I could ever forget them. Anyway, about a month after the incidents began, my parents were concerned and took me to a child psychologist. He didn't really seem to respond to my descriptions of the globs, and I think he tried to prescribe me some type of medication. Fortunately, my parents didn't think that that was the answer. Eventually, I learned to live with them. I remember striking a live-and-let-live bargain. The globs often seemed to respond to my appeals in an affirmative manner, and I simply ignored them. Also, as I got older, more and more distracting media forms, such as TV and computer, were available in my room, and this made it much easier to ignore them. Nevertheless, because of the globs, I have been a bad sleeper for my whole life. I find that they are most intense in the room in my parents' house that I currently inhabit. This is the room where it all started. For a few years, when my ailing grandmother lived with us, I was in my brother's old room, and I really didn't have a problem. They were intense in my dorm for the first year of university, but not in my second, third, and fourth year rooms. They were intense in my apartment when I recently lived in East Asia. Aside from these places, I have seen globs in some other houses and hotels over the years. I remember being in a hotel in Indiana where I actually beheld a dark figure or shadow person who are so often described in the experiences of others. It was a similar but different experience. For one, the globs usually appear while I am awake and have not slept. Whereas I find people's shadow people stories tend to occur after a bit of sleeping. Also, aside from one or two extremely intense events that I described, the globs generally do not take human shapes. I should also say that these experiences are primarily visual, although sometimes the fear is so bad that I have had ringing in my ears. I guess what I am looking for is some kind of advice, or for someone else that has experienced something similar to come forward. I feel that these experiences differ from the dark figure type of experiences, which I have read about, and I have scoured the internet searching for similar experiences to mine, to no avail. I am slightly concerned that the truce I struck when I was 9 years old may be at an end, and some answers might do me good. All right, so they had quite a few things going on in their story, and while it actually didn't begin in their bedroom, that's where seemingly a lot of experiences ended up happening after that. So it started with the green eye and the arm. And I have to say, that particular experience that kind of kicked everything off stuck out to me for a couple reasons. One, it's very strange thing to see, right? But the color green is kind of a color I'm obsessed with when it comes to the paranormal, which is weird because now that I think about it, green was the color of the slime that I saw when I was a kid. But I love when green comes up. I mentioned earlier that green mists or fogs have come up. Green ladies are something that I'm doing a lot of research on, I guess you could say. I'm just kind of collecting as many stories as I can. Green lights come up. I don't know. There's just something about the color green. I've done a whole video about green entities called Little Green Men. But also another obsession I have in paranormal stories are disembodied hands and arms. And they have two of these in this story. And these also come in a lot of different colors. So they had a green arm. Later, they have a red arm. In my video I did on disembodied hands stories, which are, I don't know if they're common, but there's a lot of them, of people seeing disembodied hands and arms. And I think these would count because they weren't attached to anything. The one with the eye, they said they could kind of see where it would line up if there was a whole body there with the placement of the floating eye, green eye, but there was no body. So it was disembodied. Going on to their bedroom experiences, they would see globs, really, really dark globs. Kind of reminds me how people describe shadow figures as being blacker than black. That's kind of how they were describing these blobs. A couple things that I could relate to is they said that they would see the globs in only certain rooms. It wasn't every single room that they slept in, and that was the case for me as well. I don't remember seeing them in my room. I only remember seeing them in my mom's room. And then they also said that the globs usually appear when they were awake and had not yet slept. That was also the case for me. It would happen while I was waiting to go to sleep in bed. And I remember being quite lucid, as far as my recollection goes. There was a lot of interesting things to that story. It sounds like it was really quite frightening for them, all the different phenomenon. Next, I'm going to read another story from Your Ghost Stories. I think I have a couple more from that website. So this next one was submitted by Katiji and took place in Kentucky, and it's called Shadow Goblins. I've always been fascinated with the paranormal, and I've been looking at this site for a while. I just thought I would post a story that happened to me when I was in middle school. Maybe someone can shed some light on what it may have been. I do have an overactive imagination, but I always try to find a reasonable explanation for odd and creepy experiences first. This one I'm just stumped on. Around 10 p.m., I was lying in bed in my room because it was a school night. Sometimes I just lay there and stare at the ceiling or look at things in my room for a while before drifting off to sleep. It's hard to explain, but to me, in the dark, things kind of look pixelated, like on a computer screen. Out of the dark, I started to see little shadows. They were each about a foot tall, maybe. No real features, just outlines of shadows. They were in the shape of little cartoonish goblins. They started out of nowhere and moved up from the foot of my bed to my face and then disappeared behind me. I laid there for a few minutes in awe and half thinking my eyes were playing tricks on me. After a few minutes, it started to scare me. I ran out into the hall, turned on the lights, and yelled for my mom. The shadows disappeared when I hit the light. I told her what had happened, and she told me to quit being silly and go back to bed. Sometime later, I saw them again. I did the same thing, ran into the hall, and they disappeared in the light. I again told my mother and got the same reply. I remember it happened at least one more time, but the last time it was different. When I ran into the hall and turned on the light, they were still there. I still saw them as shadows, and they still came towards me and disappeared behind me. I yelled for my mother, and she still told me I was being silly and that my eyes were playing tricks on me, even though I told her that I was still seeing them right that minute in the light. She sent me back to bed, still seeing them. I eventually drifted off to sleep because I had no other choice. I never saw them again after that. I'd just like to know if anyone has heard of anything like this. Was it my eyes, or my imagination, or was it something else? I've had other experiences, but as I've always been interested in paranormal things, I've always kind of had a good knack of scaring myself over nothing. However, the shadow goblins, I just don't understand. So something stood out to me in this story. They said, "It's hard to explain, but to me in the dark, things kind of look pixelated, like on a computer screen." Maybe that's what I'm trying to describe when I was talking about the green slime. And like I was saying, they were kind of like had a snowy, flashy kind of quality to them. Maybe that's the same thing that I'm talking about. I feel like they had a really high, like, white balance to them too. It's just so hard to explain. But maybe people who have seen something similar will get what I mean, and maybe we're getting closer and closer to having a good explanation. So if you can't quite picture how these shadow goblins were moving, we get a little bit of clarification in the comments section. A comment from Nisa asks, "How were they moving? I picture them sort of marching single file in the air, a foot or two above you." And the original poster, Katiji, replies, "They did kind of march, but not single file. It was more like several at a time over an area about 3 feet wide." Another comment says, quote, "I'm not saying I don't believe you, but this usually happens when you're in bed. I also have heard or seen unexplainable things when I'm about to sleep, but I just convince myself that I was half asleep, not to scare myself," end quote. And the OP does agree with them and says they would normally write such an experience off, except for the fact that the goblins didn't disappear when they went into the lighted hallway. One of the excerpts from the books I read earlier, you know, it did say that the hypnagogic visuals that people see are endless, and whether this is just some kind of hypnagogic process or not, it's wild how many different things people see. I mean, we've already gone through so many. Green slime, fish, confetti, dots, goblins, eyes, arms, blobs, and there's more to come. So this next one was submitted by Metzl Nawa and took place in Canada, and it's called "Two Bright Motionless Lights Scared Little Me at Night." I noticed that some people are able to find others with experiences similar to their own by sharing their story. I am hoping I can have the same fortune. I was around 5 years old when my experience happened. At that time, my parents had me use a crib long enough to fit a 5-year-old. Times were tough. The railings were still intact, and I would have my mom drape the railing on my left because I always thought there were gremlins from the movie Gremlins waiting to scare me. The railing on my right was next to a wall, with the window right beside my crib/bed. I remember that night I woke up and peeped over the left railing, always checking for gremlins or Chucky dolls, and I saw two extremely bright white lights. However, they did not bother my eyes and did not light the room up. If you can imagine two bright golf balls floating a meter or so apart, each with very long rays emanating from them in a cross-like manner, then you can see what I saw. The rays they had came out straight up and down, and left and right from their golf ball-like centers, and I remember they felt like the rays were infinite, with no end. I remember moving my head around to see if they were caused by light coming in from somewhere, but they stayed completely still. At that point, I completely freaked out and started yelling for my mom and woke my older brother up, who slept in the same room in a proper bed. My mom came in and I couldn't explain what scared me. She put me in my brother's bed to sleep with him. Another strange thing is that when I closed my eyes to sleep that same night, it felt like one of those lights was in my head. I could see it with eyes closed, and it felt like it was taking up space in my head. I have seen some strange things throughout my life, but not so much after I turned 20. My grandma and little niece, however, do have that ability to see things from the mysterious realm that creep the living life out of people. Alright, so another unique experience. These two bright lights, they kind of reminded me of eyes, just looking at the little one in the crib. They saw this on the side of their bed that did not have the window. It'd be easy to say if it was on the side with the window that it was car headlights or something like that, but it wasn't. It was the other side. And it's so interesting that these lights that they saw were very bright, but at the same time, they didn't hurt the witness's eyes and they didn't light up the room. And that's something you hear in different paranormal encounters, seeing lights that don't actually give off any illumination, which kind of sounds like a paradox. But that is something that comes up. UFO experiences, balls of light in the woods and things like that. I guess technically this is a balls of light experience, and it seems to just be a one-off experience. They did say that they had other experiences, strange experiences, or have seen strange things throughout their life, but they didn't share any other ones. So I believe those are going to be all the stories that I'm reading from your ghost stories tonight. Next, we are going to move on to the fairy census. Really quickly, if you're not familiar with the fairy census, it is an ongoing academic research project conducted by Dr. Simon Young, a folklore historian, and he has set up a survey where people can anonymously submit their firsthand experiences with what they perceive to be fairies. And the point of this is to collect data on the modern attitudes regarding fairies. This is something that has changed over time if you follow folklore regarding fairies. So there are two fairy censuses at this point, each of them having 500 experiences. They are available to read for free on download as PDFs online. There's also paperback forms if you prefer. They're also open to submissions if you have an encounter. They're still being collected. So I will have links in the description of wherever you are listening if you want to read or submit to the fairy census. So starting off, I'm going to read an experience from the first fairy census. This took place sometime between the year 2000 and 2010, when the witness was between the ages of 11 and 20. The time was between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m., and this took place in the state of Georgia. I was napping on a bed in my grandparents' finished basement after school. The basement had small windows, but was mainly underground, and thus lit with artificial light, which was on. I was looking directly at the ceiling, focusing on a place where the drop ceiling tiles had been taped up in a design that looked like an owl. As I was looking at the owl, I began to gradually have the impression of dust motes glowing from being caught in direct light, coalescing above my head. They were golden, but began to shimmer through the rainbow spectrum at the edge of my field of vision. As they coalesced, they became clearly a dragonfly, wrought in golden filigree, although any given piece of filigree would temporarily fade if I focused on it. The dragonfly was 3 to 4 feet above me on the bed, and about 2 to 3 feet long. It hovered above my head for about 5 minutes. Then, gradually, more of the filigree dust motes would fade out, then were replaced elsewhere in the body of the dragonfly until it was totally gone. I was awake the entire time. That was a very abstract experience, but there are a lot of elements that I found to be very intriguing and that stuck out to me. So first of all, I guess technically I didn't really catch that this wasn't technically in their bedroom, so just ignore that part, but it's very interesting, so I'm glad I shared it anyway. I didn't really catch that until I read it back, but I did think it was interesting that they began this experience by staring at a design on the ceiling made from tape that looked like an owl. I know that this is just pareidolia, but owls have so many spiritual meanings and significances in different cultures. They also have a lot of ties to supernatural experiences, particularly UFO experiences. And if you're not familiar with that, I have a whole video on that. And if you're familiar with the work of Mike Clelland, then you'll know what I'm talking about. But owls are just a very spiritual animal, and the image of them is very, very powerful and just gives off an aura of otherworldliness and mystery and transcendence and all these different things. So I do think it was interesting that the owl kind of set them off on this experience. So they start seeing these dust motes glowing and then moving, shimmering, and becoming a golden dragonfly. And it remained there for minutes, and all the lights were on. This was not in the dark. So this is different from other stories I've read so far in a couple of ways. First of all, it wasn't in their bedroom. My mistake. But also it was in the light. All the lights were on. Very interesting experience, but it does have this kind of hypnagogic visual phenomenon that we've been talking about, these very abstract forms. They said they're awake, which I believe them. I maintain that I was awake when I saw the green slime and such as well. My very first video was called On the Ceiling, and it focused on things seen on the ceiling. And I still flag things that are seen on the ceiling, stories I find and stuff. I don't know, it's just an interesting thing I like to categorize and set aside. And then I always have the thoughts, I just don't think we look at the ceiling or stare up at the ceiling as much as we used to with smartphones and TVs and tablets and handheld game consoles and all this different stuff. When we're going to bed, we used to just stare up at the ceiling because we didn't have all that stuff. Now we're probably looking at our phone until we go to bed, or we're watching TV until we fall asleep. I know that's what I do. I'm never looking up at the ceiling, and I sleep on my side. So adults nowadays definitely aren't doing it as much, I don't think. I don't even know if children are anymore, because now more children might have TVs or even phones and consoles and stuff that they look at before they go to bed. I don't know. So what are we missing now that is on the ceiling that we aren't observing anymore as we are going to sleep? I don't know. That's something I think about. Okay, so now let me read some of the additional comments and responses they gave to different questions that the survey asks when you're submitting a experience to the Fairy Census. One of the questions, or one of the prompts, is, what is a fairy? And this person's response was, quote, "A fairy implies a semi-supernatural being that is still of our environment, but without some directing purpose to its actions." They also say, "I am certain that at least some people who experience fairies slash aliens are having real encounters that are not currently explained." End quote. I do like how they put fairies and aliens together. That happens a lot. I won't go into it too much, but if you know, you know. So 34% of the experiences in the Fairy Census are reported to have taken place when the witness had just woken up or were about to go to sleep. Due to this high statistic, Dr. Simon Young, like I said, the folklore researcher behind the fairy census, has a specific section for what he terms, quote, bed fairies in his 2018 article called Children Who See Fairies. And a large percent, nearly all of the experiences reported right before or after sleeping happened when the witness was a child. In general, the majority of experiences happen when the person was a child. Young says, quote, children are, on the evidence of the fairy census, more likely to have fairy experiences in their bedroom than their parents. Children, presumably because of their reduced freedom, often experience fairies in their own house. It is worth remembering that for many children, perhaps particularly those who grew up sharing a room, bed is their one unambiguously private space. End quote. So going back to my green slime experience and how I only saw it as a child, why do children have more bedtime experiences? I really don't know. I'm sure there are lots of theories, but I personally don't know why that is. But it is the case. That's what all these stories illustrate. So, moving on. This next experience from the fairy census took place in North Carolina in the 1960s when the witness was under 10 years old. I was about 5 years old and feverish. In bed, I looked over at a bookshelf and vividly saw little people dancing around a fire. I was terrified. I remember it to this day, now 50 years of age, and am convinced that what I saw was real. I can't remember the appearance of the little people. I mostly remember the fire, but have a strong sense of having seen them. I just know that they were little people. In remembering and sharing the story, which I have done only with family and close friends, I have never questioned that they were anything other than fairies. Not a lot of detail to that experience, but there's something about it that kind of reminds me of Indian in the Cupboard or something, if you remember that movie. I know it was a book too, but I think I only saw the movie. Just little people dancing around a fire on the bookshelf. To me, it sounds kind of whimsical and cute, but something about it terrified this witness. They don't really say why. Maybe it was just so strange and vividly real that was unsettling, unnerving about it. And it's something that has stuck with them to this day. That's something that obviously comes up again and again. I mean, if they're relating it in adulthood, obviously it's stuck with them, but there's also an emotional aspect that has stuck with people. Or just something that you can't just put off as shapes in the dark. There's something very viscerally real about it, but still otherworldly or paranormal in some way. Okay, so more from the first fairy census. This one took place in Glasgow, Scotland in the 1950s, again when the witness was under 10 years old. The time was between 9 p.m. and 12 a.m. I was about 7 years old. I had been sharing a bedroom with my elder brother, who was about 18 at the time, but he left to join the army. So I was left on my own in the room. I went to sleep as normal, but woke after a time to find a group of little people dancing around on the floor at the head of my bed. I know I had a conversation with what appeared to be the leader of the group, but at this distance of time, I couldn't say what it was about. This went on for some months on a more or less nightly basis, but gradually the interval between appearances became longer and longer until it stopped altogether. The height of the fairies would have been about 3 to 4 inches, and they were dressed in what appeared to be tights and a kind of jerkin on the top half of the body, not unlike the costume that Robin and his merry men are portrayed as wearing. The costumes seemed to be mainly red or green in color. In addition, the figure who appeared to be the leader had a kind of short, gold-colored cloak over his shoulders. That's about all I can remember of the matter. I'm still convinced, even after all these years, that I saw them. But whether they were a part of our reality or a creation of my own mind, I don't know. So, this was a repetitive and prolonged experience, and one that involved interaction with whatever they saw. That is significant. Too bad they can't remember what they said. So I have heard that it's kind of a common or recurring theme in UFO experiences or fairy experiences or something like this, where you interact with a group, that is common for there to be a designated leader. I don't really have a reference or examples of that, but that is something that I've heard pointed out by other researchers on the topic. What there is to that, I'm not sure, but that's just something interesting, an interesting pattern. All right, so next up, we've got a long one. There's a lot to this one, but it is very, very interesting. This one is from the second and more recent fairy census, and took place in Michigan sometime between the year 2000 and 2010. Once again, the witness is under 10 years old. When I was very young, possibly 4 to 8 years old, I had several experiences with little people that would come into my room through the hallway and into my bedroom door. I always slept with the hallway lights on because I was very afraid of the dark. I've seen entities, ghosts, spirits, and otherworldly beings my whole life, but especially during the middle of the night. My earliest memories of these beings is this instance. I knew them well because they visited several times. I remember being afraid of them returning and hiding under my sheets so I didn't have to see them. They were very short, couldn't have even been 2 feet tall. I remember them as a doctor or nurse. They always wanted to do medical experiments or tests on me in my bed. They never took me out of my house or bedroom, as far as I can remember, but they always came in a group, maybe 3 or 4 of them. I remember that they presented themselves as doctors and nurses, so I would have a sense of trust. My parents always taught me to trust doctors and nurses, and to not be afraid of them. But I was afraid of these little doctors, because they kept coming into my room in the middle of the night and doing medical tests on me. I believe the head nurse even had one of those little hats with the red plus sign on it, like you would see on, like, 1950s or 60s nurses. I was born in 1993, so this was the early 2000s when this was happening to me. I remember telling my parents all the time of different things and people and entities and spirits I would see. To me, they were as real as my bed in my own hands, but my parents insisted I just had a vivid imagination. I was also undiagnosed ADHD and an artist, so they thought I was just being creative. But eventually I started to believe them, that it was just a dream or my imagination. I stopped seeing these entities for a while as I got a little older, but was still terrified of sleeping and could only sleep with classical music playing and a fan blasting. That was the only thing that could calm me enough to lull me to sleep. Now I am just shy of 30 years of age, and I've been seeing more beings and entities again, as I did around the age of 16 or 17. Around 17 years of age, me and my partner at the time were taking a midnight walk around my childhood neighborhood, when all of a sudden, we saw these 2 UFOs hovering in the sky, and we could tell they were watching us as we watched them. We were mind blown and absolutely convinced that we were looking at 2 distinct UFOs, and all of a sudden, they both shot off like a stream of light and disappeared into the sky in opposite directions and were no longer visible. A few years later, around ages 19 to 21, I started having intense sleep paralysis experiences with a black, smoky entity that swirled around the ceiling and watched me sleep. This entity also stood at the end of my bed in a black, smoky human form and watched me sleep a lot. I would be awake, but couldn't speak or move, and was aware of the presence and could hear him moving around and even walking up the steps, opening doors and closing them. I had about 7 or 8 sleep paralysis events, and in the last one, I was greeted by a light being. At the time, I assumed he was Jesus because I grew up a Protestant Christian, but now I know it was a being of light and love, whatever that may be. And this being telepathically asked me if I wanted to be protected from the black smoky figure. And I telepathically answered, yes, immediately. And then the being was gone, and I woke up. I haven't had any problems with scary entities since that day. I have, however, now in the last 3 to 5 years, begun seeing and experiencing light orbs, light beings, and even capturing them on the security cameras inside my home. These balls of light show up all over, and I usually see them in the corner of my eye or glimpses of them passing by. But when I go to look directly at them, they end up disappearing. They show up in my fairy gardens a lot. I have gotten quite into my fairy gardens as well in the recent years. I've probably missed a few things, but this is all I can remember at this point. I've had multiple paranormal experiences my whole life while being gaslit to just think I'm crazy by religion, school, family, and society. I'm glad I'm thinking for myself now. All right, so, like I said, this one has a lot to it. I always love getting to hear a person's psychic and paranormal history, because so often people have a history of different events. So they have so many different types of phenomena and experiences. They have sleep paralysis, UFOs, ghosts, balls of light. You might be wondering where the fairies come into this story. Those would be the bedtime visitors at the beginning of this account, the ones they described as being dressed like nurses and doctors. So let's read some further description and comments the witness gives about these beings. Quote, "Honestly, they looked like what folklore describes as gnomes, trolls, or the wee folk. They specifically reminded me of the fae or gnomes slash trolls. And I have also experienced aliens, ghosts, evil spirits, and balls of light, which I think are probably fairies. Whatever these beings were doing felt like strictly business. I believe fairies are beings of light that protect the forest and nature and animals, and possibly humans too, if they're good ones." I mean, to talk about an overlap in fairy lore and ET experiences, the little doctors and nurses this witness saw in their room doing medical experiments on them sounds similar to so many alien abduction experiences people report, but they said that they looked like gnomes or trolls, and the witness seemed to categorize them as fairies and not aliens. Well, I suppose they did say that they thought that aliens, ghosts, and balls of light that they experienced might all be fairies. And who really knows? But it's truly, truly fascinating. Like I said, I love getting to hear about all the different things that people experience when there is a variety. There are many cases where people just have a one-off experience, and I find those very interesting as well, in a different way. With that, I think we are going to move on from the fairy census. So if fairies are your particular topic of interest, I also have a playlist on my YouTube channel called Fairies. It's all the episodes that I dedicate to just fairies. It also just comes up sporadically, if not every single upload of mine, but there are fairy-dedicated shows. So next, we are going to read in an account from the paranormal subreddit, and this post was called "Weird Little Creatures Playing Beside My Bed." I've experienced a lot of paranormal activity in my life. This experience happened 15 years ago when I was 7 years old. On the weekend, I used to visit my grandparents. They lived in an old house not so far from where I lived at that time. One day, as I was about to enter my grandparents' home, I remember hearing what sounded like kids inside playing a game, so I thought it was my cousins. None of my cousins were there. I got confused and asked my grandma if she had heard something. She said that it was probably my imagination. I accepted her answer and didn't ask anything more. Late at night, after watching some cartoons with my grandpa, I went to sleep. When I entered my bedroom, I had the sensation that I wasn't alone. But I wasn't the type of kid that's scared easily, so I went to sleep. Later that night, I woke up suddenly and heard children's voices near me. All I could see in the darkness of the room was the silhouettes of what looked like little people, about a foot and a half tall. They were running and laughing, and at that point, I got scared. I closed my eyes and started to run in the direction of my grandparents' bedroom. I told them what happened, and of course, they didn't believe me. They said it was probably just a dream. I spent the rest of the night in their room, too scared to go back to my own. I could still hear the creatures from the other room. They were very loud. The next morning, I told my mother about it, and she believed me. She said that it happened to her too, when she was young. She said that they are some kind of fairy that lived there with my grandparents, and that they are somehow trapped there, and that only kids could see them. She also said that when she was younger, she used to leave candies for them so they didn't disturb her at night when she tried to sleep. I ended up doing just that, and I haven't heard anything since. All right, I did do a bit of editing and rephrasing of that story because it seems pretty likely that English was not the author's first language. If that is the case, I do wish they had shared what culture they were from, because it would be interesting to know what the associated legends regarding fairies or similar beings are. People in the comments under the story mention duendes, with one person saying that in the Philippines, it is a common practice to give them candy. Another comment says, "These are brownies, a type of household fae that watches over little ones and helps clean things. When I was 8 months pregnant, they would fix the continually bunched up rug in the hallway in front of me so I wouldn't trip when I went to the bathroom at night. I used to think someone had left TV on late at night until I started hearing them and seeing them out of the corner of my eye." I thought it was very interesting that the original poster's mother not only believed them, but said she had the same experience, seemingly in the same house. But grandparents don't seem to believe or know anything about their little noisy house guests, or if they do, they aren't saying. So we've touched on how children have more of these types of experiences. Could that be because, as the witness's mother suggested, only children can have these types of experiences? It definitely seems like it's easier for children. Beyond that, I don't really know. I do think adults have experiences too, so I don't think it's that only children can see or have these types of experiences, but they do seem to be able to do it more frequently. So, I have a similar story to this one that I'd like to read from Volume 4 of the It Happened to Me book series, and these are compilations of stories gathered from a section of Fortean Times magazine called It Happened to Me, where people write in with their personal paranormal experiences. So let's take a look at one of those. An old friend of mine had an experience with gnomes when he was about 18. He would wake up in his room at the same time on the same day of each week to find what he described as typical gnomes in his room. The first time, he had woken up and looked around the room as his vision adapted to the light when he thought he saw the shape of a little gnome wearing green clothes and a pointy hat. As he focused in on the little guy, he said it saw him and began to make a break for it. My friend fumbled for the light, but when he turned it on, the man had gone. My friend was so shaken that he actually went downstairs and slept on the floor in his parents' room. Years later, his younger brother moved into the same room when my friend moved out, and he told us a curious tale. He said he had woken up one night to see a small man on the roof, looking through the skylight and signaling for him to let him in. My friend's brother just bolted downstairs and didn't mention it to anyone until he told us. The thing is, my friend had never told anyone but me about his gnome experience, not even his brother, so he didn't get the idea from him. It gets stranger. My own brother has also told me a tale of when he was young. He said he was in bed with a cold one day when he awoke to see a group of little gnomes at the bottom of his bed heading towards him in a menacing fashion until he screamed blue murder and they disappeared. The most bizarre thing is that these encounters, my friends and my brother's, both took place a couple of streets away, but about 25 years apart. I wonder whether there are certain definite portals or areas where these mythical little fellows dwell. Now, I do love a gnome story. Just recently, I did an episode dedicated entirely to gnomes, so always happy to see the little gnomes come back. Although, as you can see, sometimes they can be quite frightening. This one did have kind of a similarity to the Shadow Goblins story that we read earlier, when it said that the gnomes began marching towards the witness in a menacing fashion. It's kind of how the Shadow Goblins were behaving in an earlier story. Very interesting that three different people had bedroom gnome experiences. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe there really are gnomes tied to that area, or maybe there was something culturally going on that made gnomes present in the minds of children at the time. It didn't really say what year this happened, so we can't really glean any information on that. Or where it happened or anything like that. It's basically anonymous and there's not really any information, but good story. While we're at it, I am going to read another story from the It Happened to Me book. So here is another one. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, I used to have visions of a black canid looming over my bed. It would sit at the far end of my bed, with its front paws resting on the bottom of the bed. It would appear suddenly and simply sit there looking at me, with a strange silence about it. The light coming through the curtains allowed me to make out the outline and a few features, such as its eyes and its muzzle. From what I could see, it was a large dog or wolf, large paws, pricked ears, and a long muzzle with fairly long black fur. I'd hide under my sheets, naturally, and hope for it to disappear. I'd usually end up falling asleep before I got a chance to see how this happened. Now, I hadn't thought about the wolf for a long time until now. Last week I was settling down to sleep when I caught a movement out of the corner of my eye. My room is quite dark, but it was as if I had just caught a glimpse of something moving quickly. I dismissed it as my eyes playing tricks on me from tiredness. The next thing I heard was a low growling. I couldn't make out if it was coming from outside or within the room. The growling continued for over 5 minutes, by which time I finally unfroze from clinging to the pillow and looked around. The first thing I saw were those familiar eyes at the end of my bed. Naturally, I was scared and shut my eyes. I must have fallen asleep. There are three stranger points, though. My bed has a desk and wardrobe beneath it, so the actual mattress is pretty close to the ceiling. How could a dog or a wolf reach that height? Secondly, I'm not sure why it scares me so much. I love dogs and feel a close spiritual connection to wolves. Sure, A strange dog at the end of your bed, watching you, would scare most people. But I'm not sure why it unnerves me even thinking about it. Lastly, I've never told anyone about this until now. But someone living on my street told me she had a similar experience. We were talking about ghosts and the like when she told me that when she was little, she thought she saw a black dog sitting in her room at night, watching her from where it sat in the doorway. The way she described it seemed identical to my experience, but I didn't tell her this, and we quickly changed the subject. She did, however, point out that our houses are built on an area that used to be farmlands during the war. Could this lead to an explanation? Whether it was a hallucination, a ghost, or an apparition, it seemed very real at the time. Something about this story kind of reminded me of my green slime. Maybe because it was a recurring image. You could write this off as possibly being something in their room that would just make this shape or form shadows that looked like a wolf, except for the fact that they saw it again in a different room and bed years later. And having my own, what I feel is a similar experience, I can understand what they mean when they said that it felt very real at the time, because I can still remember the strange feeling I had as I laid in bed, awake, watching the green slime. It felt very real, even though it had that strange kind of fuzzy transparency about it. Okay, so those were two stories from the It Happened to Me series from the Fortean Times. There's a couple volumes of books of those, or they always have them in the back of the magazine. Just love Fortean Times magazine, so good. But now we will go back to the paranormal subreddit for our next story. You'll probably guess when you hear the title of this post that I was pretty excited about it. It's called, I Saw a Hand When I Was a Child. This is something I've been curious about for a long time. I've tried to research any other similar experiences to no avail. I decided to post about it here as a last resort. When I was a kid, I would sleep with my parents, as a lot of children would do. One night, I woke up and looked in the corner of the room where my dad kept his exercise bike, and just hanging out behind it was something that terrified me. A human hand. Naturally, as a little kid, I hid under the covers and stayed there until I fell asleep. This hand appeared time and time again for I don't remember how long. I do remember attempting to get up and touch the hand one night, but I was too scared to actually do so. The hand would also seem to change from a male's hand to a female's hand every night. One night, I woke and checked the corner to see no hand, and then I turned over, and in between the mattress and the bed frame was the hand, right in my face. I jumped back in fear, and once again hid under the covers until I fell asleep. This was the last time I ever saw the hand. I kept this experience to myself for a while, until years later, in a conversation with my dad, I decided to tell him about it, and he told me that he also saw the hand when he was around the same age. Again, I've tried to research this, but haven't found anything. I'm hoping somebody on this subreddit has seen something at all similar. All right, so first of all, I love that story, of course, and second, they mentioned that they've tried to find similar stories and are hoping someone else has a similar experience, and there are a lot of similar experiences out there, so I'm not currently in the throes of my complete obsession with disembodied hands as I once was when I was prompted to make the video. But I remain totally fascinated because they are just so strange, but very common. A lot of times, The hands are a strange color as well, such as green or red or pink. In this story, they didn't specify what the color of this hand was, so I guess it's safe to assume it was skin colored. The observation that the hand seemed to swap it between a male and a female hand was a bizarre and unique detail, though. So, as I said, disembodied hand stories are common, and this seems to ring true in the comments section of this thread. The OP got their wish, as many people share their own experiences. I can't help myself, so we're going to take a look at a few of them. But just to stay on theme and not let me get too distracted, I will focus on comments that happened when people were in their childhood bedrooms, which there are a few. Where Wolfish says, "Actually, oddly enough, I have had a similar experience. It was the shadow of a hand, but nothing was casting it that I could see. It scared the shit out of me, and I did the same thing, hid under the covers. I was around 5 years old at the time. I've also seen an old woman's head, the features indistinct, at the foot of my bed." Another comment from Friendly Spring says, "My story is a little different, but I've seen some hands too. I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I would see a pair of women's arms in the top right corner of my room. They were just floating, opaque arms from the elbow down. They had red nail polish and would be constantly moving as if they were putting on lotion. So weird. It happened a lot. Always in the morning and always while the sun was up. My room was brightly lit. I probably saw them about 6 or 7 times. But I remember waking up every morning and thinking, oh God, are the hands in the corner again? When they were there, I was way too scared to keep looking and just hid under the covers until my mom woke up. I did watch them the first 2 times they appeared, though. They didn't do anything other than put on their ghost lotion or whatever they were doing. I'm not sure how long they would be there exactly. When I saw them the first time, I watched them for a few minutes, and probably no more than a minute the second time. I was way too scared to watch them or even get out of bed, afraid they'd grab me or show me something I didn't want to see. I stayed under the blankets until my mom opened the door to get me out of bed, and I'd sprint out of there. I told her about the arms, but she just laughed it off as my imagination. Nothing happened in that house that I recall, but my mom and dad have a lot of stories about how haunted the previous house was. I haven't brought up the arms since we moved out a year or two later. I'm 34 now, but I'm very curious if they remember." Okay, that's all the comments I'm going to read. I can feel the obsession rising back up inside me. I am just so interested in these hand stories, but I'm going to stop there before this gets out of hand. Now we're going to switch over to the Humanoid Encounters subreddit and read a story from Mr. Tatters the Clown. "When I was a kid, I had a bunk bed. Even though my brother and I each had our own bedrooms, we each had our own bunk bed, in fact. I always chose to sleep on top because I was often afraid of sleeping on the bottom bunk. To this day, I have vivid memories of being put to bed and looking over the railings of the top bunk and seeing what appeared to be a floating skull on one of the shelves. This skull was very small, 2 to 3 inches in height, I'd guess, but it looked just like a human skull. It would fly in a tight figure-8 pattern endlessly on the shelf on my computer desk, leaving a white, fiery-looking trail behind it. I don't know if this was just my imagination making me see things in the dark of my bedroom that weren't really there, but I have clear memories to this day of this tiny, floating skull endlessly doing figure-8 patterns on my shelf all night long." Now, this definitely reminds me of the green slime, and it seems like it could be the same kind of thing. They could be similar instances of the same thing, which is possibly something related to your eyes and your brain and the process of falling asleep and all that. Still, if that is the case, The images that your brain comes up with are so strange. Green slime, disembodied hands, black dogs, tiny flying skulls. I do think there's something interesting when it's a repeated image that appears again and again regularly. And whatever it is, it leaves a lasting impression. Myself and all these other people remember these very odd and, in some cases, very frightening childhood bedtime encounters or images or experiences into adulthood. There's something to be said for that. Now, in hindsight, I feel like I should have considered this a part of my deconstruction of a haunted house series, which I started with an episode I did titled Wardrobes, Windows, and Hallways. And that's the only installment in it so far. But basically, it's just examining different supernatural encounters in specific parts of a house. So we will consider this part two of that concept with more to come. I already have something in mind for the next installment in that series. This is one of the most, if not the most, common kind of paranormal experience. Children have the most supernatural encounters, and the bedroom is a location frequented by strange occurrences and seeming visitations. All that said, and all these stories read, we're just getting started. We've just scratched the surface. Let me know if you've had any yourself. I'd love to hear about that, so be sure to comment or you can email me if you have. I hope you enjoyed the stories tonight. I really enjoyed putting this together. It turned out a lot longer than I planned, but I'm quite happy with that. There's a lot of interesting material to work with, so I will be back soon with more. But until next time, take care and good night.